Good afternoon. I'm Pamela Bryant, a health communications specialist at CDC's Immunization Safety Office. And on behalf of my colleagues in CDC, HHS, FDA, and NIH, I will speak to you briefly on the implementation of coordinated and effective communication strategies for 2009 H1N1 flu vaccine safety. I will actually touch on six of the lessons learned from our vaccine safety communications during this period. HHS, FDA, NIH, and CDC communicators learned many lessons this past flu season that are helping us to prepare for and execute enhanced vaccine safety communications for the 2010-2011 flu activity. And so as I began, I just want to point out that with guidance from ACIP recommendations for H1N1 flu vaccine, crafting vaccine safety messages for the general population and targeted groups was a main priority for us. We learned many, many lessons, but I'm only going to talk about six of them. Lesson one, transparency and real-time updates on clinical trials and trial outcomes were important for 2009 H1N1 flu. Transparency was a priority, and our methods included reporting of clinical trial data and other updates for H1N1 in coordination with the vaccine treatment and evaluation units. There was a vaccine safety risk assessment group form that directly reported to or reported directly to the National Vaccine Advisory Committee for H1N1. And also a federal monitoring report was created for transparency to describe all of our vaccine safety monitoring systems. Vaccine safety messaging was also woven into every CDC media briefing. And our main messages for vaccine safety at that point was that H1N1 vaccine was ultimately no different than the annual flu vaccine and that it met the same standards. The public and the media were updated regularly on adverse event reports following H1N1 using summaries from CDC Wonder, which is an online public query system in which users can query data found in our Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. And communication on the limitations of VAERS was necessary and critical. Our next lesson learned, interagency collaboration was important for 2009 H1N1 flu. There were joint media briefings with experts from FDA and CDC, and this helped provide reassurance and consistency in our safety messages. They were also held in an effort to communicate and engage the public. We wanted, again, to keep the lines of communication open and also make sure that we were transparent in everything. We held a total of 60 joint media events and over 35,000 participants were in these media events. And that was an average of about 591 people per briefing, according to some recent data collection by NCRD. Okay. And vaccine safety messages were reviewed and cross-cleared by multiple agencies for accuracy, clarity, and again, consistency. And among our work group, we actually put together an interagency vaccine safety communications work group and met regularly to get updates, address issues, and determine our next steps for communication. Expectation setting helped to explain 2009 H1N1 flu vaccine. We clearly wanted to talk about background rates as we tried to communicate on adverse events. One thing that we did have some issues with was the likelihood of GBS following H1N1 vaccination. And so to put those adverse events that were coming into our VAERS program into context, you may have heard us communicate about background rates. And in this message, we particularly said in the U.S. about 80 to 160 cases of GBS are expected to occur each week regardless of vaccination. So we wanted the public to know that we had not seen any over-reporting or any main concerns of GBS following H1N1 flu vaccine. There were also safety messages on ingredients, vaccine, and pregnancy, and other issues. And all in all, we continuously had to communicate on the limitations of VAERS. So outreach to healthcare providers, community planners, and others also helped with vaccine safety communication. And we learned that early on. We worked to provide continuing education and training for adverse event reporting. We also provided webinars on vaccine safety communication. And we provided expert vaccine safety information through our Medscape video commentary series, which is still an ongoing effort. Within all of these outreach efforts, we made sure to include information on pregnancy, ingredients, and other topics of concern. Leveraging partnerships, expanded message reach, and enhanced vaccine safety surveillance. So we had several initiatives, some of which are very new for CDC. One is the Real-Time Immunization Monitoring System, or RTIMS, and this was a collaboration with Johns Hopkins University. And many of you have probably seen the myflushot.org, in which we asked for people to just kind of report to us and let us know how they're feeling after they get their flu shots. So that we were able to capture a lot of feedback on their vaccination experiences. There's also a collaboration that was put into place with the American Academy of Neurology, in which we work closely with a network of neurologists for enhanced GBS surveillance. And again, the Medscape video commentaries, which are still being used and are still making a significant impact. The National Public Health Information Coalition Group was also engaged in our vaccine safety communications because we provided CDC webinars and continuing education for those communicators. And then we still continue to work closely with our vaccine safety coordinators across the United States. This is a screenshot of the CDC expert commentary series homepage on Medscape, and just kind of outlining some of those CDC commentaries. One that we understand it has been the most watched is the H1N1 flu vaccine in pregnancy by CDC scientist Dr. Sanja Rasmussen. And recently, our U.S. Surgeon General provided commentary to encourage health professionals to lead by example and get vaccinated for H1N1. The last lesson learned was that using effective communication channels help with message dissemination. And this slide just kind of shows some of the data matrix on our content syndication, our flu.gov website, Gov Delivery, CDC on Twitter, Facebook, our actual CDC H1N1 flu site, NIH's flu topic visits, as well as the number of downloads CDC has had with their H1N1 podcast. And I do just want to point out that content syndication allowed us to work efficiently and consistently across agencies. And this actually allowed for automated information sharing of H1N1 content. And flu.gov, we understand, is a great success story for us due to the fact that it helped to debunk myths and rumors about flu vaccine safety. And so how our lessons learned will impact this year's flu communications response. These are just a couple of points here that we will continue to keep in place as we prepare for the 2010-2011 flu activity. Our lessons learned will reinforce the direction we take for future flu campaigns. And because of our activities for 2009 H1N1 safety communications, we are now examining how to best use these methods for all vaccines for ongoing communications activities. And one thing, or a couple of things we will consider when developing our messages would be the vaccine supply and delivery system and recalibrating how we issue the supply, understanding our target audiences and their evolving concerns about vaccine safety, and knowing what advocates and opponents are saying and ensuring we deal appropriately with myths and rumors. And last but not least, assessing what healthcare providers, state and local health departments, and vaccine safety partners need material-wise to help us help them communicate and disseminate vaccine safety messages. And my last slide has a list of our vaccine safety communications resources. So if you have any questions or need additional information from any of the partners listed on this page, please contact us. Thank you.